Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
All right, it's 9 o'clock. The kiddos are in bed. It's Friday night. It's time for Free for All Friday. Patron edition, Mrs. Laura Horn, ready to answer your questions. Are you ready, Laura?
I am, yes. I'm very tired, so please forgive me.
Right. I normally have my black t-shirt on, but now I've just got my Flash t-shirt. You have my Black Panther t-shirt.
E-Bombay.
Right. See, it's cute when you wear it. When I wear it, it's cultural appropriation. All right. So what we're doing today, everybody, is I asked my patrons at trenthornpodcast.com to submit whatever questions they have for the lovely Mrs. Laura Horn. Whatever they wanted to ask, they get to ask. And if you would like to ask questions for future episodes, maybe it'll be with Laura, maybe it'll be with Matthew or Thomas. You could ask John Paul stuff. He'll give you the same answer. Ba-ba, ba-ba-ba. And it's a great answer. Become a subscriber, a premium subscriber at trenthornpodcast.com. So that's where we're getting our questions today from our patrons at trenthornpodcast.com. Be sure to go and check that out. So, all righty. So here are the questions that were submitted for you.
Yeah, should be fun.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Okay, here's question number one. Is Laura a cradle Catholic, a convert, or a revert? If a convert or revert, what prompted you to come back to the faith?
All right. I am a cradle Catholic. My parents are wonderful Catholics, and
they're my adopted Catholic family.
They're truly wonderful people. However, I was a really horrible person for a large majority of my life.
Who isn't?
Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Probably Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Avila.
I know. Anyway, my first kind of experience with our good Lord was actually at a Steubenville conference. We drove to Phoenix, Arizona from Las Cruces, New Mexico, where I'm from. And that was the first time that I really encountered our Lord in the Eucharist. And they had a big old adoration night that, you know, people who have gone to are familiar with. And they really try to, I don't want to say break people down, but really expose people to
break people open.
God, right?
Cults break people down. The Holy Spirit breaks people open.
Vessels. And so that was my first experience with our good Lord. I was really struggling, as I've mentioned in the past, with a severe eating disorder at the time. And it really helped me begin my process to heal and just really experience God and realize, like, oh no, He is alive. Then, fast forward, I became more involved in pro-life apologetics, which is where I met Trent. And then we actually broke up. Trivia. And
greatest mistake of my life.
Worst mistake of your life. Anyway, but so we broke up. And at that point, I kind of had to take apologetics on myself. And
That was something we had in common. I mean, you were doing pro-life apologetics. When we first met, if you watch the documentary on my channel, the pro-life documentary, Laura is in that. That's where I met her.
How dare you? No one watched that. And
well, I think you're super cute in it.
Abortion is murder.
Whatever.
But anyway, so that's kind of my story. Constant conversion for all of us. Isn't that right? But yes, I was baptized as a baby. Yes.
And then, we had an apologetics in common. After we broke up, you were like, I can do apologetics. This isn't just something I did when Trent was my boyfriend.
No, I can't, actually. I'm awful at this, yes, but I will marry you and make you Caesar salads, so you can do this for the world.
They are delicious Caesar salads. You know what she does? She also adds
diced cubes. No, go to sleep.
Cashews are good. No, I want to start a salad restaurant called Everything But Lettuce. So it's just bowls of like croutons and cheese and dressing.
Oh gosh, please.
Everything But Lettuce. I think it would be
please.
A big hit. All right, here's the next one. Did you have, you better answer this right. Did you have an idea of an ideal husband in your head before meeting Trent? And if yes, of what of that ideal husband did Trent fulfill?
You know what? Trent was the first guy that I ever dated that didn't drive a truck. So I feel like it was just like, your Corolla? I'm like, that's him.
Hey, it's fuel efficient. It's economic.
It's responsible.
It's a Toyota. It'll run forever, okay?
But no, I didn't. And if I did have an idea of an ideal husband, you kind of die to that in marriage as far as not that you're not ideal.
I did not. I thought that your ideal was tall, dark, and handsome.
And who I got him.
And resembled. I thought your ideal husband was Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf, and that was me.
Pre-arrest or post-arrest? So anyway, but
right?
Yeah, but Trent and I are very actually opposite as far as temperaments go. And I don't know. Can I tell?
You could tell
how
people
I first
that.
Met you. He was actually very rude to me when I first met him, and he was not super into me. And then I heard him speak, and I was like, "Oh, okay, never mind."
That's not true. That's not true. I really did. Are you talking about the very first time
I met
you?
Well, Trent is just very introverted. So he, you know, when you first
are you talking about the very first time when I found out you were 17?
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
I was a 23 year old college grad.
So perhaps that's why. I don't know. But anyway, so
I still thought you were cute.
He is very...
But I was polite. And then I met you again when you were 19. We hit it off more. But I was, as many men in their mid-20s are, stupid. And
you
I don't know. Here's the thing. I figured like every single guy in the world would be trying to get you to
that
date.
That's not true.
Every single, that's what but I'm saying that's what I thought. I thought every single guy in the world would be trying to get you to date them. So like I'd have to stand out a little, and I was being stupid, you know, but and also I'm introvert. You're like, you know, you're outgoing, and that's so good.
You're like that person who's like rocking the clearance rack, like, oh, I'm gonna buy it before someone else buys it, and it's like no one bought it before. Okay,
no, that's
that's why it's on clearance. But anyway, but no, I did not have an ideal husband type. Trent is actually very funny, and he's very warm, as you know, once you get to know him. He's also an incredibly hard worker. Which, you know, so is my father. So I really, you know, respected that trait. And so he's a fantastic Catholic. He really held to his values. And so that's, you know, I think I didn't know it till I had it.
And I was just hoping for dear goodness you wouldn't find out what I'm really like till after we got married.
Yeah, no, everybody feels like that. So who's not a crazy person? I'm a crazy person.
No comment. Here's the next one. Not as dramatic of a question. What is your favorite book / film? Book
All
or
right.
film?
So, fiction. Kristen Lavrin's Daughter. I've said that before. By Unset. And it is long. So, if you're not into that, then junior.
That's about, what is she, from Norway?
Yeah, Sweden. She's from Norway.
Yeah, so it's like about a medieval Norwegian woman. And she's trying to pick between these guys.
The beginning is really long and the names are awful. You just kind of have to get through it or listen to it on audiobook. And
you said
it starts to pick up and then it will be.
You
really
said
good.
I was like one of they're like two guys. One guy was super hot and like just like, oh, my gosh.
Erland.
And
he
the other and the other and the whatever. Urkel. And the other guy was like this nice, average, dependable man. And you said, who's that dependable guy?
No, I don't think you're like Simon. I think you're like Lavrans, who is the dad. And he is really constant and wonderful and underappreciated, but so honorable. And I actually think you're more like Lavrans. So
I still want to be I wanted to be Urkel, the hot
For
guy.
For all five people that have read that book, now they know the reference.
Oh, okay.
So, about movie? Followed closely by Jane Eyre.
Okay, film?
My favorite movie is probably Count of Monte Cristo, because I feel like that's the first movie that I liked. This movie is actually good. This is good film. That's a good representation.
That's funny. It's your favorite film and not your favorite book.
Yeah, that's funny. I actually started the book. You and I started the book. Remember, we went to a park and tried to read it to each other and be romantic. And we were both like, we are just distracted by people watching and all these people with dogs.
The things you always think like, oh, it's going
to
be,
let's it, read to
it's going
to
be romantic. I'm like, I'm tired and it's hot out.
And I can't pronounce Danglars, lest I saw the movie. So, but my favorite, my favorite film, funny film, honestly, very inappropriate. And I'm sorry, Dad, if you're watching, but I really like the movie 21 Jump Street. But I would not recommend that actually anybody in the world watch that.
The USCCB would consider it rated O.
I know, but if you
morally offensive.
Fit Angel, it would be 4 minutes long and you would laugh all the time.
It is pretty funny. I watched 20.
But when you watch it on TV, it's like, oh, thank you. Because then everything's cut out.
I do like the TV edits of those films, but it's it is funny. Though I mean, I remember watching the original 21 Jump Street. I don't even know if you were born yet.
No, how dare you? Probably not.
Probably not. there's actually there's a reference to 21 Jump Street in Night at the Roxbury, which is a
nice.
Guilty pleasure
movie.
That is a guilty pleasure movie we both
it
enjoy.
So good and funny
and bad, but it's a guilty pleasure. But that's
it
the thing. Richard Grieco is.
Don't you miss before movies were so horribly politicized that, you know, you could say funny things and not worry about offending the world.
Right. All right. Here's the next question.
Right.
Any advice for a 23-year-old single girl looking for a full-time job? It's pretty frustrating and hard to find the right fit. Also, any other advice for someone in my season of life would be appreciated.
Well, my answer is going to be controversial. So try not to name drop here, but I actually agree that women should try to get married.
Think you should focus on finding a husband?
I do. Now there's like two groups, right? Someone who's interested and called to marriage that honestly can't and has been, you know, open and trying to work on herself and praying to the Lord and kind of putting herself out there because dating's hard. And another that is really trying to like up her career and hoping that that'll happen later, even though she feels called to marriage.
And she might even be like turning down guys that would be a good fit for marriage that
She'd
want later. She'd be like, oh, he'd be great if I married him in 5 or 10 years.
Right. Trent and I got married at 23.
Well, you were 23.
8 years ago.
I was like 38.
That's
I'm just
true.
Kidding.
Right.
No, I was 28.
Yeah, he was 28. So kind of older. But my problem is, and I don't know if Trent is going to air this or not, but we say all the time, men's field gets larger.
Now, this is totally fair to say and needs to be said. And I love having you here because you can just say it.
I know. I'm sorry. It's because I'm so tired.
But no, so you're saying like as
men's fields gets larger.
You mean the opportunities for marriage
right,
for men.
When you were 28, you could have married a 19-year-old, which I mean would have been controversial, but you could have.
Well, what,
or you could have married a 28-year-old. But our
what makes you think that I would be attracted to like some super cute blonde 19-year-old petite girl?
Please don't say that now. But
I'm talking about my wife. I'm talking about Laura.
But our field gets a little smaller. So it's
women's.
You know, yeah, a women's field. So, I mean, I don't mean to belittle it by saying like field, obviously dating and discernment is really important. But at the same time, if you feel called to marry, you know, get out there. You know? So, but if you feel called to marry and you can't meet anybody and you really are, you know, you're volunteering and you're praying for your future spouse and you're really like praying to the Lord to send him to you and you still can't get hired. You know, she said she doesn't fit in. So I don't know what that means, like as far as like, you know, she's at a job that's making her less holy. If that's the case, then you should just get another job.
Sometimes you just have to just try different jobs to see
right.
what works. And your point is like you should get married. Doesn't mean you're just gonna not work. I mean,
right.
you pursued a nursing degree and you obtained that and you were working, but you also saw that marriage was a primary vocation.
I also feel like getting married young, you know, 23 is a hard age because you see all your friends are graduating college and they're all, you know, becoming in their big careers and it's hard. So I'd say, you know, as far as not fitting in, get off of social media and just pray to the Lord and say like,
but then there's a benefit because now you're 30 and
you know,
people are like, oh, there's no guys.
A
they always
lot
say
of women.
There's no good Catholic guys left.
A lot of women. Yeah. And, so, you know, it just takes, you give up a lot getting married early, but you also gain a lot getting early. And I think, you know, I found my journal the other day from when you and I were first married and it is a dark journal. I had, you know, it was really like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm not working. My nursing license didn't transfer over into California. And I was really sad for, you know, that period of time that it didn't transfer over. I didn't have children. I had just gotten married. I'm just out of college. So it's a really humbling time to just, you know, sit back and let that sink in that marriage
but
is just
at
enough.
That time when we were newlyweds, you had friends who told you they wish they could be married like you and they weren't.
But you can't appreciate that until you're out and you realize like what a gift it is that God gave that to you, you know. So so as far as fitting in, you know, if your job is causing you to sin or if it's causing you know, you dread it every single day, just look for a new one. Life is too short. But if it is like, you know, I don't fit in, like I work at a restaurant, I'm worried that I don't make as big of a difference. I'd say, you know, you can make a difference at any job. Like when Trent and I pay for a babysitter and we go out to eat and somebody's really nice to us, it makes a big difference. And, you know, so you can make a big difference anywhere. When people are nice to me at the grocery store versus mean when I walk in with my herd of children, it really passes on to the rest of my day. And, you know, this lady with purple hair the other day in Target was super nice to me. And like I was so blessed by my encounter with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say just pray and find dignity in work wherever you are. If your job is causing you to sin, then pray to the Lord for another one and he will get you out. And
I think the important thing, though, is also your job is how you make a living.
It's not your vocation.
It's not your vocation. So if you feel called to marriage, if you feel that that is your vocation, then you don't want to do things like, yeah, I think it's silly to be like, oh, God, that guy I really like, he's definitely someone I would marry in 5 years.
Right.
What makes you think he's still going
to
be there?
I always tell Trent, I know it's controversial to say, but like, never mind. I'm not even going to say it, but I'm going to say it because I'm tired. Like, you got to secure your real estate. like somebody else is going to, quote unquote, buy it. And I know marriage is not like a buy-in or anything. But I mean, good Catholic men and good Catholic women, they kind of go fast. And like, you just have to realize sometimes like nobody's perfect. And gosh, I hope Trent cuts this out.
No. What's so great about marriage is like you grow with one another. I think also something else with dating and marriage, you'll want to hear us talk about that, is both for guys and girls. You can't be overly picky.
No, you can't. And I think this is going to come in question 9 also. Like,
we'll just go to question 9. As the other question here, as a devout Catholic woman who's faithful to the teaching of the church. Oh, wait. As a devout, where are the rest of you? I thought this was a guy, actually.
I did too, until I read woman. Where are the rest of you? Well, let me tell you.
Are they talking about, seems tough to find. Maybe it's a woman
just
trying to find
single Catholics. Like, yeah, where do you meet good single Catholics?
Especially for 30 plus singles. Okay, well, but here's the problem. 30 plus singles, it depends. Are you a guy or a girl?
Yeah, that's hard.
If you're a 30 plus guy who is single, it's easier to find someone who's a good fit for you than for a woman.
If you're a 30 plus guy who is single, I feel like it's a little mean not to be discerning marriage at this point and not getting married.
If your vocation, if you're dating.
If your vocation is dating and you're just kind of like walking around and not and dating these women for long periods of time, I feel like that's a little mean and you kind of need to make your mind up. However, so as where are the rest of you? My advice would be this. Online dating is wonderful and it's brought a lot of blessings, and we know a lot of people who have met their spouses online, but I think people are on the internet way too much. And so go and volunteer somewhere, and
that's how we met.
Get involved in pro-life ministry or at the soup kitchen or a place like that, and just pray to God a novena or for your future spouse. You never know, maybe he's in the process of conversion, or you know, maybe he just needs a little bit more time, or maybe you haven't met him yet. And if you are praying and if you are out there, just kind of sit in the discomfort maybe and let the Lord just work whatever he needs to work on your heart. But my advice ultimately would probably be to get off the internet.
I think so. Unless we know some people who've done Catholic. If you're doing Catholic dating online, you just have to be very focused.
Right.
And you can't.
Off the internet, I didn't mean like online dating platforms. That's important. Don't get me wrong. But I did mean like stop being online all day. Go out and volunteer.
Be out in the real world with people.
Meet people. Yeah. I feel like this age, like we've you know, replaced people in the age of social media. But it's still really important to get people.
Yeah, absolutely right. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
And then, of course,
please watch this video.
And subscribe. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to Council of Trent YouTube channel. Here's the next one. How did you get started homeschooling? What does a homeschooling day look like?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So we wake up super early, and then I yell a lot that we're going to get started. We're really, really going to get started. And then I get my kids dressed.
Okay,
and
first, we have a six-year-old who is first grade, four-year-old, and then
John Paul, who ruins everything.
our 10-month-old.
When did I get started homeschooling? Okay, so there's a book called For the Children's Sake that's very good if anybody's discerning homeschooling. Also, Teaching from Rest by Sarah McKinsey are both very good books if you are struggling with homeschooling or worried if you're not doing enough. I actually, Trent and I were actually pretty anti-homeschooling to begin with. And then in
typical public school kids.
Right? Yeah, we were public schooled. And back in my day, hardly anybody homeschooled. It was the weird people who were homeschooled. However, I maintain that if those people were public schooled, they would also be weird in public school.
True.
So, and now I define
and
weird
also public,
differently.
Public school kids are weirdos.
They are
not weird. All of them, but many kids we meet, like homeschooled children, are weird because they might be overly nice. I would rather have that than public school kids being weird when they're overly mean.
Right. Yeah. And
I still can't walk by a junior high. They can see all of my insequerities.
I know. I have charge. Anyway, but yes, so we started
homeschooling. All right, and maybe maybe I've drunk. I drank a little bit.
I never said I drank. Anyway, but I did. So, but I didn't. But Trent and I decided to homeschool because in California, it was basically the only option.
Right.
And then we discerned that it was the best option. So I was grateful that God, you know, led us to California to help us discern that. I would say also homeschooling conferences are very helpful to get around and, you know, hear people that have persevered in their mission. It was really helpful to hear people who were successful and had great, you know, productive 17-year-olds and how they struggled when they were little. A homeschooling day looks like not great.
No.
I would say it depends on the day. And
they're little still.
Here's the thing about homeschooling. It takes a lot less time than you think it will. You were at school, public school, for 6 to 8 hours. Homeschooling, honestly, if you sat down and did it, it takes probably...
Public school is 8 hours long because it's babysitting.
No, it really is.
That's why it's meant... Public school is 8 hours long to provide an ability for parents to go work. That's why it's so long.
I know, poor kids. But you know what? We're not above public school. I understand.
No, of course.
It's to each person's circumstance.
Everybody should have access to what they need to thrive. And some people might choose homeschooling.
Depends on the child. Depends on the year.
Yeah.
But a typical homeschool day, honestly, in the morning, we try to eat. We try to, I try to go on a walk. And then we do our school early in the morning. So... And then Matthew earns a reward. Usually he picks an episode of Superman or Batman.
Or Justice League.
Right. And so that's his little reward. And then we go on a walk or we do an activity together. Then they have quiet time. And then when we wake up, we have a snack. And then usually Trent is close to being done with work. So we do like a little activity or something like that, little outing.
So he's going to be doing a homeschool co-op next year. So he'll be going a little bit during the week and then you'll be continuing home. But I love that he's so excited to go to school. Because he's like, oh, he listens to Little House on the Prairie. He's like, I'll do arithmetic. I need my slate.
I know. He goes to Target and he's like, I need my slate. And then he's like, Mom, if you send me to school, I will walk 12 miles in the snow.
So. you won't have to do that, kiddo.
But yeah, so yes, I'd say it takes about an hour and a half each day, maybe if that, to be honest. And
for a first grader, yeah.
Yeah, for a first grader. So, but one-on-one time is very powerful with children. He's learning a lot. I think he's very bright. So, but yeah, so hopefully, you know, we're able to continue in the future. And I pray for the grace in that because homeschooling is no joke.
All righty. Let's do our last question here. Describe in 3 words or more... What is it like to be married to Trent?
Smoking hot body.
You're terrible.
Awful. Sorry, edit it out. Let's see. I would say striving, good father. So striving, because you're always striving, right? Those are two separate striving. You're always striving at work and in your faith and in your marriage. You're always striving. And I love that about melancholics. They're so good. They're always working towards the ideal. Sometimes
my favorite
it's a little annoying.
My favorite is when you'll say something like, we should go on a trip to X.
Yeah. And like, then we should go to Florida. And he's like, great. I booked tickets and I figured this out. And this is when we're going. I'm like, whoa, I am way too flighty for that. I'm like, no, I did not mean that.
Melancholics make it happen. Sanguines have the vision and the melancholics. Go back to, maybe we'll do another free-for-all. We'll talk about the temperaments. Melancholic is basically like introvert. Sanguine's kind of an extrovert. We'll talk about that in a... We'll have to do a future episode. That would be so fun.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's actually how I would, like, if I had to think about it more, about the 3 words. But, yeah, Trent really takes pride in being a good father, and I think he's actually a very, very good father.
And that's what's important. You know what's funny? I was reading an article today. And I love working from home. Sometimes I might be here a little too much.
Do you, though?
I do like working from home. Well, no, I love working from home because I read an article that said that the average father in America sees his children 8 hours a week.
That is so sad.
I know.
Oh, wow. That is very sad.
I know.
Average, though? Like absent fathers and children fathers at home?
Oh, like the dads,
you know,
who are just
like
visiting?
Is that the median?
Like the dads who only have joint custody?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, even still.
No, that's still like a huge loss.
But you think that if a dad has to go to the office and he has a half hour commute each way.
I know. Yeah. Not to go on a tangent, but really people ask me all the time, like, why are you so pro-life? And I'm like, really, my dad? Yeah. So dads are so important.
I know. And you help me be a better dad. We always help each other. And that's what's nice about marriage. Marriage is not about finding... Mr. Wright. I found Mrs. Wright, but it's about she found Mr. right enough, Mr. Good Enough Bar. But you grow with each other in marriage. So I'm excited. So we've been married now for, what is it now, 8 years? Going on 8 years?
Yeah, solid.
All right.
Almost a decade.
Woo! We'll have to do a special 10-year anniversary show when
I know
when that rolls around.
We know nothing. The advice is what you pay for.
Right? We're doing the best we can.
Right?
Well, thank you. I'll let you go night-night since
all right,
the other kids
you.
Are all down. So thanks for being
night-night.
Here. All right. Thank you guys for watching. Hope you enjoyed this Free for All Friday, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
Thank you.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.